Opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Alrighty, welcome back. And welcome to our installment of this week's Consider This Live, which is, of course, it's Monday, or Wednesday. Why does it say Monday? I've got Monday on my brain for some reason. Wednesday, March 8th. And joining me in the studio, Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College, as well as Vince McMahon, the chair, and John Davidson, the vice chair of the Citizens Council and the Ratepayers Association for Hamilton Township. I know I got the name wrong, but they'll clean it up for me in just a moment. Before we get started, I always like to play a track that's related to the conversation. I couldn't find Taxman, so here is Randy Newman and Political Science. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. The Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. And South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We're building all American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, will just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, paying to be Italian shoes. Me, they all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
There he is, Randy Newman, 1972. The song is Political Science. And welcome back to the studio. By the way, I should correct myself. It's not Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon's the wrestling dude. No, Vince.
He looks like a wrestler.
Vince McGovern. He's a wrestler. Yes, big wrestler. Vince McGovern, who is the chair of the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township Ratepayers Association, and John Davidson is with us as well, and he is the vice chair, former chair, now just the vice chair. You guys, that's like Putin and Medvedev in Russia. They swap between president and prime minister every 5 or 6 years. Let's hope that's not the trend. Anyway, and I should point out right now that this is not an adversarial organization, folks. This is an advisory organization. They're not here to pick a fight with anyone. They're just here to enlighten council and to enlighten the ratepayers in Hamilton Township. So I guess we should start the show off by asking a question. Who got their tax bills today? Everybody out there get your tax bill? We got a caller online already. I wonder if she got her tax bill. Donna, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you. Got my tax bill. Already paid it.
You already paid it. What kind of increase did you see?
I didn't do the comparison yet because we won't know till we get the final tax bill. It's just an interim, and then they make the calculations to give you your final to make your next payment in September. That's when we'll see what the real increase is.
Oh, I see. So we got to wait for the other shoe to drop after summer.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, I have a question. I'd like some comments back from your guest today. There was the budgeting process in the township this year was a concern to me. They had an open house that they set out for the ratepayers, they said. It was in November of this year, and council was directed not to attend. So we're just supposed to go and talk to the staff.
Not to attend,
yes. So one councillor did attend, even though he wasn't supposed to attend. They moved the process forward 20 weeks from the year before because that open house the year before was in April of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved it from April to November, so they've basically a quarter, 3 months earlier more, and then they provided the information to us ratepayers for the meeting about 2 days before on the internet, if you were lucky enough to figure out how to find it on the website, and if you had web access, and if you could print out the report, you had to bring the documents in. There were no documents provided printed for us at the meeting.
So and just to clarify then, so you had little or no advance warning. It was a full quarter before, actually 6 months before the normal process.
No, not 6 months, 20 weeks before the 20 weeks earlier than the year before. Yeah, so that's like 3.5 months, not 6 months.
Well, it was November instead of April, right?
Yes.
The consultation shouldn't be happening until next month, is what you're saying.
Well, the year before it was next month, consultation happened.
So,
that's right. So they've expedited the process, which they were very proud of, but it basically there was no information given to the taxpayers to be able to question in time for us to look at it. We got 2 days to look at it if you knew how to get on the internet and if you could print it out.
And no council representation.
No council rep. You're just supposed to talk to the staff and tell them your concerns. And there was no past history provided to make it easy, accurate comparison from 1 year to the next.
Nice.
So approximately 30 ratepayers were at the meeting and they expressed their displeasure with it all, but nothing came of that. We still haven't seen
How confused was that meeting? I mean, you would have had little to no information. It was all about pie in the sky from the sounds of it. These are things that we might be doing next year, but hold your horses and we'll see. I mean, how can you have a comprehensive conversation with ratepayers when you don't even know what your final budget numbers are going to be? You don't even have a remote idea of what possible increases there might be.
What was that,
a kumbaya moment? Was it an opportunity?
Well,
did they at least provide food?
No, and the funny thing is what you said was pretty well echoed by Pauline Browse, who was an MPP in Scarborough Rougemont for years. She went up into the meeting very upset, said you can't even, you have to have a master's degree to figure out the documentation they put out on the internet and take 30 hours to figure it out to begin with. And actually there's a video on the website of the township of the budget meeting where everybody was there and were complaining about it all. So it's actually up on the web that you could go watch that video.
Wow. So confusion all around, and then now we get...
And frustration.
And now you get your bill. Mm-hmm. At this point, you don't know what the increase was. You probably have some ideas of what the overall increase was at the town, right?
Or
at
I got to wait to see how the impact assessment reflects, too, because now the farmers have... Their rates have escalated, so it may increase radically over residential rates with the impact assessment changes as well.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, Donna. Vince McGovern here. You won't know until I believe it's the third or the final billing for the year what your total tax bill was for the year, correct?
I believe that's correct. When the bill comes out for September, we just got the interim billing, which they kind of speculate and put something out there and make you pay a bit, and then we'll have to see where it all falls into place, because at this point the farming community has gone to the county too to ask them to change the assessment rate or the mill rate for agriculture because of the massive change in the impact rates for them.
Well, and I know they were told that because it was an impact situation that the county really couldn't do too much for them. But they can take it down to zero. They can, yes, because of the mill rate, exactly.
That's right. The county has the legal option to take it from 25% down to zero.
The other major thing here, too, is the fact that, you've got some folks that are on fixed income, And by the end of the year, when they get that final tax bill, and they have to pay $300, $400, or $500 more than what they did last year, you know, where do they find that those funds? It's, you know.
But I guess my big concern was the transparency of budget setting is just, it's gone. It was very
clear as mud
for ratepayers. Very, very frustrating for us to watch the whole process. You kind of sat back there like you were stuck in a time warp or something. I don't know.
One of the first citizens' questions was the fact that, you know, approximately 43% of the Hamilton Township municipal budget is for roads. And it was identified, a certain number was identified. And so the next question was, well, where's the roads plan that you've identified all these projects to justify the $3.5 or $4 million budget number? And there was no roads plan. So how do you define a budgetary number for and get a council to approve on it when you don't even know what the projects for the roads are for that year?
Yeah, I know. And in the past, there used to be a 20-year roads plan came up in the 2012, 2014 years. There was always a 20-year roads plan that was available to review and see. And no roads plan came out in any of the presentations at council even.
Yeah. Well, what's your experience? I mean, have you been on council? You are a former counselor, so you have so you're better off than the layperson who has virtually no idea what the hell is going on.
Or they're trying to learn, but it's sure hard to learn when you go to those types of meetings.
Mm-hmm. So, what kind of questions were you asked based on your previous experience then?
What kind of questions was I asked?
Were you asking? Yes.
Was I asking? I was asking where is the roads plan and how are you, you know, what are you going to devise there? I was asking how come certain areas of the community are get more support from council than other villages or in the community. There's some biases going on in view of where you live in the township and things like that. There was it perceived biases. So there was a number of questions. I mean, it's all on the website, on the video.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good questions that went, but it was to the CAO and the treasurer and the directors.
Yeah, well, they must have had some answers for you. Did they not have anything to say other than thank you for your question? Next.
Well, they take it to council. Well, we'll take that. We'll tell the council what you think. So, you know, it's not like we got a chance to talk to council about what we thought.
The other factor here too, Donna, just to, because I was attending that meeting as well, and we were on a timeline, 2 hours, and they spent about the first 40 minutes talking about how we get to our tax bill. And then, of course, the draft budget was presented, or the working document was presented, and then the questions started, and we had, as taxpayers, we had no specific information to look at to review, you know, year over year, for example. The budgetary numbers were put forth for 2017, but we didn't know, you know, did we spend $2 million on roads last year? Did we spend $1.5 million? And what are the projects? What are the differences year over year? So it made it extremely difficult. So we basically went into the meeting to give taxpayer input with our hands crossed, with our hands tied, with our hands behind our back. We had no specific input. So how could we give good input into a meeting that was meaningful and helpful to the council to make changes?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Do you know if any of your questions were presented at council? I mean, obviously you have an opportunity as a citizen to go to council meetings, right?
Yes.
Do you know if any of that was translated then or to council?
Yes, we know that some were translated. We know that they did discuss a few of them. We know that they never did put forth a roads plan for us, which is the bulk of the largest percentage of our budget. So to date, I don't think anyone knows what roads they're working on. I don't think it's been published what roads they're planning on spending their millions of dollars on. And I haven't seen any 20-year plan of capital purchases or any, you know, the major plans that should be here. your go-tos to see where how you're doing and your targets, they're not there anymore. Like, or they're not available for public to see, and there was no public viewing, and there used to be the names of the roads you were going to work on and how much you were going to spend on that particular year on the budget spreadsheet line by line. There was nothing like that this year. So people who are questioning, why is this road getting done? They have no, you know, well, there's no response. I don't know what the response will be. Well, you know, we just decide to put in whatever we want to put in when we, during the year. I don't know. You know, we have $2-4 million. We'll put whatever we want in then. We don't need to tell you at the beginning of the budget process. We don't need to have it when we're passing the budget. So I don't know. I've never heard of that before in the township. So.
Yeah, I know it sounds extremely crazy, and sounds like a, you know, once again, lack of planning on their part becomes an urgency for the ratepayers. I want to thank you for your call.
And the thing is, you're 20 weeks ahead. Slow down. Take 4 weeks. Put those plans together. Mm-hmm. Come back to us. Show it to us. You still got another 16 weeks to get. You're still going to be ahead mm-hmm. of the process if you'd have slowed down and provided that information to the taxpayers.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if they're taking that much time, they're not really giving any time for ratepayers to adjust either. I mean, you know, you've got to adjust your budgets. You've got to make plans for any increases that come down. There doesn't appear to be any time from council for that. Thanks for your call, Donna. I appreciate it. We're going to go to our first break.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that was Donna. She's calling us from Hamilton Township. I want to thank her for the call. Raised some interesting points, and we'll take up on that when we come back from our first break of the hour. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat on Northumberland 89.7. This is Consider This.
Looking to change your mind? Grab a cup of curiosity and join me Thursdays at 12 noon for conversation with cutting-edge thinkers that invite you to think differently about yourself and the world. Update your thinking, The Jan Sprague Show, here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Put your heart into art by joining the Art Gallery of Northumberland Saturday, March the 25th at the Dalewood Golf Course for a murder mystery by the Ontario Street Theatre with dinner and a silent auction. Cash bar at 6 p.m. and murder mystery dinner with wine at 7 p.m. A tax receipt will be given for a portion of the ticket price. Call 905-372-0333 or drop by the Art Gallery at Victoria Hall, 3rd floor, 55 King Street West, Coburg, or the Gallery Shop, 8 Queen Street, Port Hope.
Tune in Mondays, 10 to 11 p.m. for Guitar Gear and More, brought to you by Luong & McQuaid Musical Instruments, the show that reviews guitar gear and more and then showcases the bands who made it happen. You'll hear interviews with local talent and a special Luong & McQuaid segment that keeps you in the loop of upcoming music trends and events, plus expert tips from our Luong & McQuaid experienced instructors. Guitar Gear and More, Mondays, 10 to 11 p.m.
Northumberland 89.7 is radio to go. Listen to us on your smartphone wherever you are. Just go to Northumberland 89.7 and download the TuneIn app.
And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Dave Glover. Joining me in the studio is Vince McGovern. I almost said Vince McMahon again. Vince McGovern, John Davidson, and they are with the Hamilton Township, Citizens Coalition, rather, of Hamilton Township Ratepayers Association. We just had a call from Donna. She raised some really interesting points, and I know you have a response to that, Rob.
Well, I think Vince, before we went to break, had something that he wanted to say, so I'd like him to say his piece first, and then I'll follow up.
Thanks, Rob. I think the other note that we should be aware of here is I've also attended some Northumberland County meetings recently, and in particular over the budget that they approved, and they give, after the working draft is presented, they give the taxpayer in Coburg, or sorry, in the county, 8 weeks to review and provide input to the treasurer, obviously we didn't have that kind of time frame at the municipality. The other thing is our mayor sits on the county council, and I'm kind of wondering why he doesn't adopt that same type of process for the Hamilton Township budgetary process. In speaking with the treasurer, Glenn Dees, and Warden Wallace shortly after the last meeting, they both identified the fact that they really appreciate ratepayers being present and would like to include us in any processes. And the other thing is the actual budgetary process, it was identified that it's an 8-month-long working document that we're as ratepayers totally can be totally involved in on an ongoing basis. So it's, you know, they acknowledge the fact that that the ratepayer, as they are ratepayers, need to work on this as a, jointly as a team, mm-hmm. as you know, many hands make light work type thing. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention.
Okay, so the question then becomes, well, if it's being done, because I know the process in Coburg is pretty open as well. I mean, we've just had our first public consultations, the first ones held at Victoria Hall. Same thing, you meet staff, you meet town councillors. But again, that's weeks in advance of when they start to roll out the final numbers for the budget. This is the pre-budget consultation process. And it's done, you know, in a timely fashion. But it sounds to me like the pre-budget consultation in Hamilton Township really is... It's a dog and pony show. It happens way too early, and it doesn't really have any impact on what any kind of final numbers are.
We as ratepayers didn't really feel that while they acknowledged some of our questions in a written format, and it was presented to council, the five council members, we really didn't notice any changes made on the budget that reflected any of our concerns.
So I guess the question becomes, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a little bit, but how much detail should a citizen have? In other words, should a citizen be saying this road should be fixed or that road should be fixed? Why is it important to you to have that level of input? Isn't that sort of the responsibility of the municipality, of the staff at town hall?
Absolutely. We elect our councillors to take that responsibility on. But it's also their responsibility to listen to the taxpayer, in my opinion. And there are taxpayers out there that have genuine concerns about certain road conditions and other aspects of the community, parks and recreation, the fire services, which are fantastic operations, by the way. But it's very important that the councillors listen to the taxpayers and understand what the issues really are. And by that, I mean being open, being communicative, getting out there and talking to the taxpayers and finding out what the issues are or are not.
Mm-hmm. But then doesn't that set up for another type of tension where you feel your road should be done, Vince, but John feels his road should be done, and we're going to say, okay, Vince, we're going to listen to you, and it makes it look like we're listening to you, but John, we're slapping you in the face. Whereas if we as a municipality say, here's, you know, we have these roads, we know what needs to be fixed, here's what it's going to cost us in terms of dollars, and this is the level of increase. Shouldn't that be what we're really debating?
Again, you know, we're relying on the expertise of our staff members, mm-hmm. to come to the table, to come to council every year with a plan. This is the roads that need to get done based on this criteria, and therefore, as councillors, we need to have our councillors understand what that criteria is and then agree or disagree to that. And if there's disagreement with that, then, you know, are they coming out to the community to find out what is going on and why is this road more important than that road, that sort of thing. But when you have no road study or no roads plan, mm-hmm. and it's not communicated publicly before a budget is approved, then how can you even approve a budget based on nothing?
Well, the other point that Donna was sort of alluding to was, because you mentioned criteria, there doesn't appear to be a publicly known criteria. We don't know how the decisions were being made as to one road over another. Does one have more potholes? We don't know. We don't know what the criteria is, so we don't know how the decisions were being made. There's no 20-year road plan. As she said, there used to be, I guess, a 20-year road plan. Maybe the 20 years have expired. They don't need a new one. I don't know. But what we're really missing here is, I mean, yeah, we elect councillors to make those decisions, and yes, we trust the county or the council and the staff to make the right decisions. But when we don't know how those decisions are being made, if we don't know, as you mentioned, the criteria, if we don't know what is the format to approval or a non-approval of something, how do we then determine what is going to be the best bang for our buck?
Let me ask this then. John, you and Donna both were on council at one time. How is the system different? Did you go out and ask citizens, are we going to repair this road or that road? Did you have a criteria that you had put forward that was done through public consultation that you could take back to your staff and say, here's how we want our roads to be done? Was it that same system as you're proposing now?
No, it's a whole entirely different system. What happened was every year there was actually a road need study in place. and an engineering firm decided what roads were to take priority over others, then what would happen is once the roads were repaired, they come off the list. So the Public Works Department would come forward every year and you go out on a road tour. And they would give you the roads that they feel are necessary under the 20-year plan to mm-hmm. be repaired immediately. So council would then go back and look at, review it, and any changes that had to be made would be made at that time, and you prioritize your roads, which are going to be first, second, third, fourth, or fifth. Then your budget for that road, and then once the budget's passed, then you automatically go out. But the road plan was the road plan was there, and the roads were in alphabetical order or just order to what the priority was.
So where's the public consultation piece that you're demanding now in that old system?
Well, what's happening is that some roads are being repaired that may be fifth on the list, but there's other ones that are at the top of the list, number one, and should be repaired right away. These roads, as Donna referred to, are being overlooked because they're saying, okay, buddy, I'll do your road first, but I'll leave that other road.
But if there's no plan, how do you know that that's the system that they're using?
Well, just from common knowledge. Common knowledge is there, but if they're not using a system like Vince has alluded to, the fact is if they do not have the 20-year plan out for the public viewing, if they do not say, okay, these are the roads that we're having prioritized this year for 2017, and this is our budget, I'd be satisfied with that. But they've never produced one. So when you have a curtain in front of you and you're trying to guess what's behind door number 1, 2, and 3, it's very frustrating for the public. You're going to spend over $1 million on roads this year in paving alone, just one road. Mm-hmm. So what road is that going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a road that's necessary to be done, or is it not?
Yeah, I can give you a specific example, too, Rob. The Pollard Road, which is up the top of Alnwick Hill off of mm-hmm. Harwood Road, magically had, three dump trucks and a foreman and a service truck and an excavator for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a section of road that's not even a full-time road. It's an unmaintained road. It was all the trees were demolished on both sides of the road. The residents in that area are extremely upset. They have tried many times to get in touch with council, and they've just been given frivolous answers. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, I've read some of the email responses, and nowhere have we found that this was a planned process. And who's paying for that? Mm-hmm. Is the Hamilton Township taxpayer paying for that? I hope not. They're saying that it's the tower folks are going to pay for the cost of that. Well, where is that shown? Where is that documented? Mm-hmm. So when you do stuff like that with an unplanned approach, you're just begging for concern and frustration from the taxpayer because of the lack of communication. If that was identified in a roads need study, well, guess what? The residents are going to be ready for that. Everyone's going to be happy, or they're going to have questions and input into that decision process, right?
So basically, one of the things I'm getting from John, though, is that there is a list. A list on the, and there's a 20-year road plan. I'm assuming each road in the municipality is on that list and in varying degrees. And of course, the list is not alphabetical. It's based on what work needs to be done right now.
Based on
a study by an engineering right. and by town staff who drive around checking out the roads.
Right.
So they determine, okay, so, you know, Beaver Creek Road, I don't know if it even exists, but Beaver Creek Road, for instance, just as an example, would be a road that needs immediate work, whereas, you know, the Township Road may not need some work. You can probably kick that down the road a while, or at least that's on number 10 on the list. And the concern is that the items that are number 10 on the list are actually getting work done now as opposed to the top prioritized road, which are the ones that need work immediately. And you're alluding, at least you were a moment ago, alluding to the fact that some of that work may be being done because of cozy relationships with council members and representatives on council.
But also, I thought I also heard that, I see that system, but, you know, how much do we go beyond that where individual citizens get to come forward and advocate for a particular road if the engineer says, it's X, Y, and Z, or mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3. This mm-hmm. is our top three priorities. If a citizen comes along and says, I want my road, so then what You know, it sounds to me like that's never really been the system. It's never been a way where, you know, Joe Blow right. can come up and say, hey, I want my road done.
That's so maybe they need to put that list, the list of roads that are going to be prioritized, have maybe you, on a website or something.
Have you asked
people can
specifically
see.
for a roads, the roads list or the prioritized list?
Yes.
And what was the result of that, please?
Nothing. Okay. I haven't seen nothing yet.
Okay. And how long ago was that?
That was during the budgetary.
So November.
That was the first question that was asked in the taxpayer public input meeting. Okay. Where's the roads need study, the plan to justify this $3.5-4 million, whatever the number is, budget mm-hmm. for roads? Non-existent.
Do you know, is it the Hamilton Township, do they tender it out, the contractual work, or do they use their own staff to build the roads?
It's usually contracted out when they do the paving of the roads.
Yeah.
It's all contracted out, and the tar and chip as well.
That's interesting, because we had the warden here last week, and he was saying that the county now is doing some of the road work in other municipalities for about $3,000 a kilometer less than some of the bids that have been placed in other municipalities. I was wondering if you knew that Hamilton Township has ever tried to have that done to get that kind of a discount.
I believe Hamilton Township has used the county before in the tar and chip program.
Okay.
And we do have county roads, obviously, in our township.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously doing road work.
This was beyond the county roads.
Oh,
it's true.
Okay.
When we had Mark Walls in here, he actually talked about the fact that, you know, that was one of the ways they were looking at saving money for the municipalities within the county, is offering them the expertise and the use of these facilities and these workers to do the work. They're doing it for the county roads. They could just as easily do it for the municipal roads, as Rob alluded to there, at a savings of between $3,000 and $4,000 based on what work needed to be done.
I'll shift comments here a bit. One of the other big concerns that was brought up was, you know, our budget for this year was just over $7 million. And magically, we all found out to our surprise that there was about 96 reserve accounts totaling close to just over $7 million sitting in the kitty type thing. And, you know, they started off the budgetary process with a 2% increase. And nowhere was there ever talk about bringing that the tax increase the tax down to zero.
Mm-hmm.
There's never any ever conversation about that. I mean, that's in the perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's never any effort made to bring those taxes to zero. We're getting slammed by increased hydro rates and a number of other rates on different items. And, you know, the folks that are in our community that are on fixed incomes, I don't know how they're going to do it.
You're saying that they should be using a percentage or a portion anyway of that roughly $7 million in reserve to offset this $7 million increase, right?
Well,
is that what you're saying? If they've got $7 million in the bank, then they want to raise it by $7 million. Why wouldn't they take, say, $2 million out of the reserves and just, you know, use $5 million, which would lessen the increase burden for the ratepayers?
Well,
right?
We did a little bit of research, and we found out that Coburg's budget is $28.5 million, and they have a $2.5 million reserve. So why do we have a budget with a $7 million reserve fund?
So let's be clear. Are you opposed to the idea of having reserve funds? And
absolutely not. If there's a strategic plan in place that identifies projects that require that type of money. But I have not. Have you seen any, John? I don't know of any. Like, I know the Warden Wallace and Glenn Dees, so the treasurer of the county, have identified the Golden Plow Lodge and the Campbellford Bridge as, you know, long-term multi-million-dollar projects.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a reserve fund to cover that, and mm-hmm. they're working towards covering that. I don't see any big projects on a plan anywhere in the municipality that says, hey, we're saving for this. And mm-hmm. we're being fiscally responsible. All that we got from the treasurer, Paul Dauber, in Hamilton Township was that, well, typically most municipalities have at least 1 year's funds in reserve, so $7 million. But then when we talk to the other municipalities in Northumberland County, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, you know, I'm a ratepayer. I'm asking myself, I got to pay this increase this year in taxes. How are you justifying that? And then we also have some equipment and vehicle purchases that have recently been made. And again, where's the 20-year vehicle and equipment plan? And
well, where's the business plan? I probably wouldn't have a 20-year plan, but where's the business plan to
well, there's depreciation for
yeah, you know, exactly. Because I mean, most of these service vehicles are really only in use for about 5 years. I mean, let's face it, you know, if they get run, I mean, they get really used up. So we're going to take our next break. When we come back, more of our conversation with the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township Ratepayers Association, Vince McGovern and John Davidson, as well as Rob Washburn is here. We'll be right back.
I'm Chef Michelle.
I'm Chef Michael.
You don't have to be a chef to savor the flavors of Chef's Corner.
Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 to see who we've cooked up for our special guests, and don't forget our skill tasting giveaway.
Join Chef's Corner to tap into the upcoming culinary season and stir the gourmet in you. It's all about food, eating in season, and keeping it local. Chef's Corner Thursday mornings at 10 a.m.
Here on Northumberland 89.7.
Truly local radio.
Is lunch ready?
I'm hungry and the pizza's still frozen. The oven's not working.
Well, did you turn it on?
Yes, and it's still not working. What do we do now?
Ed White Appliance Service. Cold pizza? Oh, no. Yes, I can come to your home. Nah, no one likes frozen pizza. Yes, it is worth fixing.
Ed White Appliance Service, 51 Mill Street South in Port Hope. Call 905-885-7109.
This is Allison Houston from Port Hope Public Library, your destination for inspiration, imagination, and information. Not going south? Not going skiing? Join us for a March break staycation, March 13th to March 17th. Ted Staunton launches his new picture book, Harry and Claire's Amazing Staycation, on March 13th at 11 a.m. at the Mary J. Benson Branch, beginning a fun-filled week of daily activities. Build your family tree, learn about bird watching, and learn about some stargazing. Watch a movie or create a craft. Afternoon matinees happen every Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m., featuring the theme Office Laughter throughout March. The Unfinished Stitchery Guild meets bi-weekly on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Next date is March 15th. Mystery Readers Book Club and Library Book Club provide lively monthly discussions about books and authors. Details about library programs can always be found in the What's On newsletter, on the website phpl.ca, or by calling 905-885-4712, and find the library on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Northumberland897 and catch up on what's happening in and around Northumberland County.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. I'm Dave Glover. With me in studio are Vince McGovern and John Davidson, the chair and vice chair of the Hamilton Citizens Coalition, rather, of Hamilton Township Ratepayers Association, and Rob Washburn, who is a producer, segment producer, and co-host here on our broadcast. Rob, you have a question?
Yeah,
I know you do.
I do. Going back and looking at budgets starting in 2009, every year there has been somewhere between a 2% and a 3% increase in the budgets. So the question I have is if the Hamilton Township has traditionally had about a 2% increase, which somewhere in the range of just a little bit more than inflation, why is there such a concern now that it continues to go up by another 2%? I mean, you bring up a lot of points, but the point is that it continuously rises. It's always been 2%. I'm trying to figure out where's the difference in the process that all of a sudden we're outraged by all these expenses and all these things going on in the background, and yet never before your group existed have we even heard anything in terms of this type of complaint. So I'm trying to figure out, has this always gone on, or is this something new? Like, what's the difference?
Rob, I don't think it's a complaint. It's a perceived idea that funds are being spent on behalf of taxpayers, and we're hoping that they're being spent in a fiscally responsible and efficient way. However, when we sit and get the opportunity to sit in front of a budgetary meeting at council to offer public input, and we're not given the actuals and the budgetaries from the previous years to compare to give proper input. How do we even question it integrally without proper information? And so the question is, you know, you're saying that there's a 2% increase. Why isn't there an effort to make it a 0% increase?
Well, I guess I go back to John then again. You sat on council. I mean, what about vehicle purchases? When you were on council, how is it different now? Why are we not now and we did before or whatever? What was the situation when you were there?
Well, just to add on what Vince has alluded to is the fact that during council, the process was always there to go ahead and have a budget. So you have your treasurer set the figures and everything else. Now, this present council today wants to automatically start at 2%, which is unheard of. They want to start at 2%.
Which is the rate of inflation, though, right now?
Well,
right?
Not really. It's only 1.99%.
1.99%.
Yeah. So most 2%. Most people on pension only get that 1.5 or 1.9%. They don't get 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the whole percentage wise, they started 2% and they worked away from there. Now they said the budget's only 2.27%, but they did take a lot of the reserves to buy things. Now, as Vince is come across.
So I guess the question that Rob is asking, and I'm thinking the same thing, is, you know, these things have been going on for a long time, and probably as long as council's been around, there's been things that have been happening at council, things that people didn't necessarily know or things that people didn't necessarily agree with. Why is it all of a sudden now an issue? Or was it an issue before and nobody knew how to speak about it?
It was never an issue before. Okay. This seems to be happening now. I don't know why, but it's happening. Maybe there's a reason behind it. I'm not sure. But
when you were on council, how come we didn't get 0% increases when you were on council?
You can never have a 0% increase. You know that, Rob.
Okay.
Your expenses always go up. Your labor costs go up.
So,
your road costs go up. Everything goes up.
So then is it not reasonable to expect that under the current regime, that's part of the context in which they're working as well?
Yes, but it's public involvement. The public need to be aware of what's going on. And this is what we're getting at.
Okay.
And I always say that, and what Dave mentioned earlier about having it open to the public, if they were to have on their special website, I don't care what it is, just a website that basically offers a glimpse at their operations and shed some light on their priorities and help us for the fairness in due process regarding council and staff's performance and spending. This will increase the efficiencies and effectiveness of governance and entitlees through the transparency and accountability. So if it's there, then the public wouldn't have any concerns because they can see it in black and white on the computer screen.
Somebody bought a truck, it cost this much, it was all part of the process and everything's there.
So, exactly right.
So, and I guess that's part of the reason why the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township was formed, right, ultimately. Because I mentioned at the very beginning here, you guys are not an adversarial organization. You're there to offer aid and support to the ratepayers as well as to council so that they have a clearer understanding of what is objectionable to the ratepayers by council.
Right.
And also an effort to try and get them to be a lot more transparent and open with the ratepayers as to what money is being spent where and how that money is being spent. I guess the question that I have is then, well, why as a council, and you were on council before, you say, it's always going to go up. But really, why don't you start at zero then? Why didn't they start at zero? When you were on council, was the increase then start at zero? And then if you end at 2%, you end at 2% or end at 2.5%, then that's where you end it. But if it doesn't start at zero, if you're already starting with a 2% increase, then obviously, you know, that's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be at least 2%, right?
Exactly.
So was it a 0% goal when you were on council? Is that how started?
We started at zero, and then every time your department head would come in with the necessities, then you'd have to add that to the so-called percentage, and it would increase from there.
Okay. Well, we do have a caller online, and we're going to take the call real quick because we have to go to our break. So we'll take the call, and welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard the question two or three times. Why now? Why now? Why now? Why are these citizens groups popping up?
Mm-hmm.
People woke up. Okay, there's no more confidence in the people that are on councils and whatnot because everything is starting to open up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the internet where people can go on town, websites and see what's going on. It's just basically everybody's woke up all of a sudden. These things are popping up all over the place because everybody's taking a look and they're going, wait a second, this is my money. I want to know where it's going, and it's more important now because nobody has any money.
Well, sure. I mean, that's a valid point, Ed, but I guess what I'm saying, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, okay, so nothing personal for anybody out there or anyone in the studio here, But it seems to me, I mean, we looked at the politics page for Facebook in Port Hope. We look at the citizens group that's been formed here in Cobourg and in Hamilton Township and in other places, in Toronto as well. A number of these organizations are started by people who are former councillors who didn't get elected, people who ran for council and didn't get elected, who thought that, you know, and I can name a few people here. I'm not going to out anybody. But the reality is, it seems to me that these organizations tend to be formed by people who are former councillors who perhaps didn't get reelected or are a little disgruntled. And this is why we have to ask all the time, is this an adversarial organization? Or did you guys form because, you know, you didn't get reelected?
Well, look what happened in Port Hope.
Mm-hmm.
The old council, you know, kind of, they were always saying they didn't have a tax problem. They had a spending problem.
Yeah.
Okay, was the issue there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Taxpayers Association formed, the Ratepayers Association formed in Port Hope.
Yeah.
Well, half of them are on council now.
That's right, and we're still seeing increases, right?
Well, we are, but I mean, you also got to remember different councils have to make do with whatever the last guy did.
Mm-hmm.
And if it took them 10 years to screw things up, this is not going to get fixed in 6 months.
No, absolutely.
But I really, so what's wrong with a disgruntled person going against council? Council is elected.
Mm-hmm.
They're elected by the people. They're supposed to do what we want them to do.
Right.
That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to spend the money on things that we want them to spend.
Absolutely.
And nobody thinks they're lining their pockets, okay? That's not any group that I've ever seen. That's never been a consideration that council is lining their pockets.
Right.
But you look at these things and you have, they hire consultants. The consultants sit at the corner of Theater Road and Number 2 Highway and go, oh, we need a roundabout. Okay? You know, well, they sat there for 2 hours on one busy day. They weren't there Sunday afternoon when nothing was going on.
Mm-hmm.
We expect the leaders of the roads crews and all that kind of stuff to know exactly what's going on, to know what they're going to need, to know
right.
the trucks. That's what they're there for. You don't need to call in consultants.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and to your point, like you said, you know, I mean, a number of these people are just now becoming enlightened because of the availability of information.
Well, our population's changing too. We got a lot of older people that got nothing else to do. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, good point.
And they get
good
involved.
Point. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
All right, on that note, we're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to try and see if we can get to the bottom of this and wrap it up with these guys here as well. And you are listening to Northumberland 89.7. We will be right back.
Northumberland 89.7 is proud to have received the 2016 Northumberland Central Chamber of Commerce Business Achievement Award in the Communications and Technology category. Here at Northumberland 89.7, we place an emphasis on local news and views, spotlight local talent, and air diverse programming reflecting the many interests of the residents of Northumberland County. We want to thank our group of dedicated, hardworking volunteers who show a passion for what they do both on air and off. Northumberland 89.7 is most grateful to the Business Achievement Awards Committee and to the community for your show of faith in the unique and valuable service community radio offers to Northumberland. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Pritchard's Climate Care has been serving Northumberland County for over 30 years. Under new management for the last 7 years, we have been improving our service and looking for better ways to serve our customers for many years to come. At Pritchard's, we offer comprehensive 10-year warranties on our equipment, including gas water heaters. Call Pritchard's Climate Care today for service or a free estimate at 905-885-8216. At Pritchard's, we're not just your climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Listen to Northumberland 89.7 live online at tunein.com/Northumberland89.7.
And welcome back. Welcome. Ooh, way louder than normal. Welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. Thanks to Ed for that question, by the way. And thanks to Donna for calling in and everyone else who's called in as well. But we've raised a number of issues here. We've actually raised some pretty good issues. A lot of them about accountability and just what the process is for town council. I guess my first question then after this break is, you know, is council listening? Are they actually hearing what you guys are saying, or are they just saying thanks for your opinion, thanks for your comment, and moving on to the next person?
That's a good question. You know, we don't hear from the councillors. I shouldn't say that. I have heard from one of our councillors, and in going to the meetings and the public meetings, we do get some interaction with the mm-hmm. councillors, which is great. And then, of course, we have the media, newspapers, that sort of thing. So we are keeping in touch that way. We actually have a mayoral and the CAO have agreed to meet with us yet again on our third go-around in April, which is exciting. We're trying to keep the doors of communication and lines of communication wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you mentioned at the top of the hour, we're non-adversarial. That is correct. I, for example, am not a former counselor. I have no vested interest. I'm not getting paid to do this. I'm just a taxpayer like the five counselors on our council. And, you know, I think it's as a business former business person and a continued small business owner now, you've got to ask the questions. Is this fiscally responsible? Are we watching our expenses? Are we charging the right amount to do this job? Are we paying the right price? Are we looking at all the ideas and opportunities with the county, for example, shared services? These are all things that...
But, Vince, I mean, bottom line is it's a social contract. The only time that they really will be held account for whether or not they provide you the information or give you the answers that you want will become on election day. And then up until then, there's no legislation, there's no law that says we have to give you this or we have to answer this or we have to do what you say. That's their prerogative to whether they're going to listen or act. And what it ultimately comes to is election day. And then can they run on their record and will the voters support them? And so far, we don't know that yet.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because in some situations, I agree with that statement that you just made, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of the coin, Northumberland County... When you have the warden and the treasurer meet you at the back of the chambers mm-hmm. at the end of the council meeting and shake your hand and say, we welcome you, we want you to be part of this process,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, wow, tides are changing. And Ed, the previous caller, is totally correct. I mean, people are actually starting to ask questions mm-hmm. because they are concerned.
Budgets are getting tight. People are having less disposable income. Absolutely.
The other thing, too, is a good example is both parents need to work now. 20 years ago, that wasn't the case, you know. So you've got two parents in a two- or three-child family. They're busting their behinds to make ends meet every week. Mm-hmm. And when you get a hydro bill and a tax bill and all these other bills coming in and no accountability for it,
But let me ask you this, though. Is this end up becoming something that they just don't feel imperiled enough to make a difference, to have them act differently? Do you think that might be the case? They just don't feel that their jobs are at stake yet.
I don't think it's a question of – we don't want their jobs to be at stake. We want to work with them. We want them to understand that, hey, there are other opinions out here, and you should listen to your tax base, you know, to improve everyone's financial picture and outlook for the Hamilton Township. That's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to be adversarial. We're trying to work with them as team members. There's a lot of – and this was brought up in the first mayor's meeting. There's a lot of educated, professional folks in the 4,000 households in the Hamilton Township that have an extreme amount of knowledge. And, you know, five counselors, are they tapping into that? I pose that question.
That's a good question. And we're going to have to leave it at that. I want to thank Vince McGovern and John Davidson for being here from the Citizens Council of Hamilton Township Ratepayers Association and Rob Washburn. You've been listening to Consider This Live, heard every Wednesday on Treaty Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. Coming up at 7, Cedar Rail.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small?
Northumberland 89.7 is CFWN, truly local radio, serving Northumberland County, a not-for-profit volunteer community radio station.